Valley 104.9 goes behind the scenes with former King County Councilperson Kathy Lambert every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. as part of Valley 104.9's Community Talk and Info Sundays.
Tonight, I'd like to talk about an interview with Lindy Lee, who is a campaign person on the Harris campaign. And she was very interesting to listen to. And I want to give you some of the highlights of her interview on the Will Kane Show, which is broadcast on Fox. This is not a show that I follow, and I'm not quite sure how I ended up with it on my phone. But I was listening to parts of it, and then I went, oh my goodness, I better go back to the beginning of this interview and take down who she is and why she's saying the things she's saying. So if you want to know more about it, and I have not done any fact checking on this, I am not in the Democrat circles to get this fact checked, but it is what she said on this show, the Will Kane Show. And so if you are interested, that's where the information is coming from. So she was very disappointed in the outcome, and she said shocked that the outcome of the election was what it was. I was not shocked, and we can talk about that, but she was shocked, and she felt like that the outcome of this election showed that the working class Democrats have been sent off to be part of the Republican Party because the things have gone too far and the people can see what's going on and the information is not coming accurately or clearly. And she described the race as a disgraceful campaign. She said some things that were quite interesting. She is the women's chair for the Mid-Atlantic region and she's a senior advisor. She serves on the National Finance Committee. She heads up the Geeks and Nerds for Harris, in which she collects money from people like Mark Hamill, Ron Perlman, Linda Carter, who is Superwoman or Wonder Woman. And she is very interested in what actually happened. She said that $1 billion is a lot of money to have been spent. And where did it go? She said that she believes that this race needs a financial accounting and a political accounting explanation. And what she meant by that was that pundits were saying that this race was a slam dunk, that she was going to win. And you've heard a lot of things on other shows talking about, well, women were going to vote for her because she was a woman. And, you know, many people were saying, and my friends of color were also saying, I'm not just a person of color. I'm a mom and I'm a business lady. And I have more than just the fact that I'm a woman. I want the inflation stopped. I want safety. I want the laws to be enforced. So the fact that people would say that just because I'm a woman, I'm going to vote for a woman, that's insulting. So I think part of that supposition, at least from the people that I talked to, was a bad supposition, obviously. But what Lindy was saying was that she felt betrayed because they were being told that this was going to be a victory for the D's. They were all excited, but she believes that at some point, somebody knew they were going to lose, but they still had them out collecting money. And she wants to know who knew that. And she felt really bad because a lot of her friends were contributing large sums of money after they potentially knew that this was not going to be a winning race. And so she said that she felt that the accounting should be very clear and who the money went to. And she talked about a number of expenditures. And I've heard this on several different sources. And but all of this money has to be accounted for in the federal release. And one of the expenditures was $1 million that went to Haro Industries. And that is a corporation owned by Oprah. And people are saying that Oprah was given $1 million to endorse her and work with her. And Oprah is saying she didn't get that money. And I heard her on a being saying that she was very angry about this. But if she owns Haro Industries and that got $1 million, well, that's interesting. 1.1 million went to Eminem. 5 million went to Megan Thee Stallion. 3 million went to Lizzo. And so a lot of her donors, she said, would not have contributed if they had known that that's where the expenditures were going to be. They also talked about some of the money that was going into sets that were for different press releases that were very extravagant. All of this is going to be public record or is public record. And so it's really important that if you think that 5 million being given to Megan Thee Stallion is a good expenditure, okay. And if you don't, then that's something that should be known. She said she felt like there were knives in her back for telling the truth. And now that it's all in public record, she said that she had been criticized for going on Fox in the past, and that AOC in 2020 was very angry with her, and they got into an argument because she had gone on Fox to talk. And so she said that she felt that Fox had always treated her very politely in the past, and she felt safe to tell the truth. And she said that in some networks, if you don't say what they want you to say, they circle the troops and come after you. And that if you don't say America is racist or misogynistic, that they will not amplify your message. And that she feels that Fox has a broad range of views. So she said that since all of this has happened, that MSNBC ratings have plummeted, which they have. We're all aware of that. And there's some talk about potentially Elon Musk buying that station. And, I know a lot of people are very concerned about that. But if you were to see a chart of all the major news medias in the country and see how many of them are owned by George Soros or his son or his sister-in-law or his daughter-in-law, all of these ones across the country are related in some way to George Soros. And I was shocked when I saw the chart because the law is that no media source is supposed to be controlled by one group in any one area, that there be multiple avenues of different thoughts. So she said that she felt that many of the contributors need protection and that all seven swing states being lost showed that the $1 billion was not spent well. Now, she did talk about something else that I was very concerned about, and I don't understand it totally. So I think that I'm just going to throw it out there, and so you're aware of what she said. So, as we all know, Biden started the race. And so there was a Biden campaign. And then when Harris was after the coup, and she was now the candidate, they moved it into the Harris campaign, saying that because it was a Biden-Harris campaign, that they could move the money. That's not happened before, to my knowledge. So maybe that's legal, maybe it's not. In my opinion, it should have gone back to the people that gave the money to say, are you okay with this? Now, they had a special meeting and they said there were no other candidates, but there were people before Harris was announced, like Gavin Newsom and several others, who had started to talk about the idea that they might be interested, but that was quickly curtailed. So what she said was, so the money then went into the Harris campaign. And then they made an agreement with the DNC, which is the Democrat National Committee, to bypass the $3,300 contribution limit and use the higher limit of the DNC, which was about $900,000. And that was really a surprise. And so I have not verified that, but that crossing over, it will be interesting to see how the DNC puts their money allocations in and how the Harris with this overlap potential. So, one of the things that Lindy said is that every day there's a new crazy revelation about what happened behind the scenes. So then she said that she had felt like there were knives in her back for talking about this, and that the DNC had become a dumpster truck on fire. We have no leader now. They pushed the president aside. The VP lost in a disaster, and the DNC chair is stepping down. And the person who told us that we were going to win from Ohio has been pushed aside. We are a decapitalized party. She said she cares about clean air and H2O water and Sandy Hook. And so that's why she stays in the Democrat Party. But she said, even though I feel at this point that the party is pure on issues that I, more pure on issues that I hold dear, I am concerned about this. And she said that a lot of the Democrat DNC contributors are asking for some of the contributions back. And she believes that it's kind of a donor revolt. She said that people are quaking in their boots. And she said that that a lot of the donors are fleeing because of false promises and the idea of the poor expenditures that are now showing up. So she said she wants to use this opportunity to get more checks and balances on 2028. And she also said that she felt that it was interesting that there was, since 2019, an icy relationship from the June 28th accusation by Kamala that Biden was racist and that Jill Biden had never really forgiven Kamala for making those comments. So this is going to be interesting. And as we've seen, there's a lot of finger pointing from different people that Biden should have dropped out earlier and that they had to do something because under Biden, Trump was on course to get about 400 electoral votes. But I think the issue is that the people who were surprised that the swing went back are the people who didn't understand that you cannot take people and tell them that the border is secure when they can see it's not, that inflation is not happening when they can feel it is happening. And when some of the basic values of our society are being diametrically challenged, and if you don't adhere to the statement that they want you to say, that you will be chastised and called names or canceled, that people are tired of that. And that's why it happened. So I think it'll be very interesting to see what Lindy Lee finds out, what she says. She's a very articulate person. And I think her questions of knowing what amount of money was spent on what, which is public record, and some of the expenditures that she claimed are expenditures that if my candidate was spending money that way, I would not be pleased. So, it gives opportunities for a postmortem to say what happened here and what should we do in the future so that these kinds of things don't happen. And I was very impressed that she talked about the idea she felt safe going on Fox News, that it was giving her opportunity to speak and to present the facts. And $1 billion is a lot of money. And I really think that we need to be looking at what do campaigns cost? When you look at all the campaigns across the country, how many candidates across the country? There were thousands of candidates across the country. When I first started running for office, they told me I had to raise $30,000 and I about had a coronary. Well, $30,000 now is one mailer. So the cost of running is so much higher now. And it invites corruption. I'm sorry, it just does. There are a lot of people that I know. One candidate, well, elected official in our state came to me one day and told me I was foolish and stupid. And I'm like, well, thank you so much. What motivated that? Well, you haven't even called any of the lobbyists to tell them that they must contribute to your campaign. And I said, well, why would I do that? And she said, because I tell them, you voted, you contributed to my opponent. Now I'm the elected official, so you need to match that or you will never get into my office. And I said, well, I don't think that shows integrity. So you can call it what you want, but that's not my idea of integrity. So no, I will not be making those phone calls. So the idea that there's a lot of intimidation, one congressional person told me they, on average, have to raise $36,000 a day. Talk about distraction. Talk about people feeling like they have the right to, expect something back for their contributions. It's just not okay. And in today's society, where we can get information, frankly, during several of the debates, I was mortified. I'm just going to be totally honest about it. I thought some of them were unprofessional. I thought some of them were rude. And I don't really want to see that. What I really want to know is, what is your credentials? What do you bring to the table? What do you want to accomplish? And then one or two things that have been done by the opponent, and say that there's some issues that I don't agree with. Tell us what the issue is and what you don't agree with. Very matter-of-factly, boom, boom, boom. And that's all I want to know. Then I can figure out when I listen to the next person. There's no reason that we need to be spending this kind of money. When you get campaign flyers, people pretty much throw them in the garbage. And, we put up yard signs, and then you have disrespectful thieves that tear them down, spray them, steal them, whatever. And so it's very difficult to run a campaign the way it is done now. And then, of course, you're having to say things about things that are ridiculous. I had a reporter on one of my elections that called me every day with a new thing that I could have potentially done wrong. And finally, about the fifth day, I said, you know what? You're taking my time. And this is ridiculous. And I am no longer going to defend this insanity. So if you have anything of importance that you can prove, then call me back. But until then, you no longer have the right to call and harass me every day with this stupidity. And he started to laugh. He goes, well, I'm a friend of such and such. And I'm like, well, that was pretty clear. So, that's not okay. And, for the people who are really trying to do a good job, and there are candidates on both sides. I will tell you that my ballot is not completely Republican. There are people that I have worked with great integrity. I will be voting for a King County executive that is a Democrat because I have worked with three of the known candidates, and we have two that I would not want us to have as the next King County executive. And we have one actually knows what he's doing and does a good job. So I will be voting for that person, and we'll talk about that more at a different time. So I think it's important that we get to know every candidate and that we reframe. So how do we reframe? We decide that on this time, during, whatever hours it is, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that, this will be run, and or we run them all together, like the Seattle has, where they do the candidate interviews, but the candidate can do it on their own home computers or such, and just talk and tell us what you want us to know. And remember that, the average person wants to know some pretty basic things, and they can go to your website and be able to get information, send you a question if they have it, and hopefully you have an elected official that will respond in a timely manner, unlike some that I know. But you will be able to get those questions, and it, I think, will make people feel like it's a clean, more wholesome thing to find out what a person that's willing to serve, what they want to do for me and for you. And so we can decide whose ideas are more in line with ours, and then we vote for them. We don't need a bunch of campaign literature. We don't need a bunch of signs that people get mad at anyway. We just need to take responsibility to go online and see what's on, and then work with the media because they're required on the TV stations to have a certain amount of time that is for public, the public good. And while I know that they're not going to like this, they get a lot of revenue from political campaigns. And I don't know about you, but I was getting sick of seeing the same political ad over and over and over again. And then, of course, the $42 million that went into fighting the three initiatives that didn't pass, that had so much misinformation in it that I finally turned the TV off 3 days before the election because I couldn't stand it anymore. But if you didn't know all the details for sure, you would have said, "Oh my gosh, that's really scary." And it was horrific. The titles were written awfully by our attorney general. That should never happen again. We should never have only the attorney general writing ballot titles. It should be written by a panel of pro and con, not just the attorney general, who showed his bias clearly in the titles, in my opinion. And so put together a panel of Republican and Democrats to write it so that everybody knows what it says with no bias. And in the voters' pamphlet, there's pros and cons. So we can have pros and cons on those also. And the fiscal note should not be written by only one party that without any rebuttal to that, because the fiscal notes can be very swaying. And someday I can talk to you about fiscal notes in Olympia, where they were so bad at one point that we told them stop writing them, that it's a waste of public resources for you to write these ridiculous fiscal notes. And so when they realized that we were going to write them ourselves by calling, different companies like Staples or, whoever to get the data that we needed and use that data because that would be accurate, they actually said they were mortified, which they should have been. And fiscal notes got better. But the idea that $42 million was spent and that the titles on them were so poorly written, that is not okay. So all of that needs to stop. We need to have it on the internet. We need to have people be able to look at it whenever they want. We need to have it on TV to remind people to go online. We need to have time where people can record it and play it when they want, so that there isn't the need to raise all of this money and be able to then have people contribute. You can contribute to the government. You can send, if you have an extra $1,000 and you like animals, you can send an extra $1,000 to the county and say, please put this $1,000 extra into the account for animal control. If you like public health, you can say, I want this X number of dollars to be put into the public health account to study whatever. You can pay more if you want, but this whole thing of making money and, candidates that are outspent 3 to 1 or 4 to 1 that came very close to winning. And in the 5th district, there was about 22,000 votes different, and the person was outspent 3 to 1. And I believe if they had had equal money or equal access to people seeing their messages, that we would not have had the same outcome. So we really need to change. It shouldn't be who can get the most money and thereby being semi-indebted to others, but who has the best ideas. So there's a lot to talk about and there's a lot to reevaluate. And it's not something that is going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's not easy. Social Security at the federal level, we all know that it is not solvent. The federal government has been borrowing from that account for years and years and years. And they believe that it will be solvent till the year, I believe, 2040, 2045. But they, at this point, don't know how they're going to go beyond that point. And they'll put more money in from another account. And, I'm not panicking on that. But the issue is that it really isn't solvent because they have been borrowing out of that account. So, what are we going to do? And we are going to have to evaluate that a different possibility of how we're going to pay for Social Security in the future, as there are fewer younger people and more older people that are drawing on this account. And potentially, one of the solutions that has been discussed is being able to start individual account types that are not government necessarily backed, but private enterprise accounts, so that people in the future will have their own accounts rather than the government paying for that. So those are hard conversations. And what would the date be? And when we get to 2045 or 2040, whatever it is, what will that look like? Will they move the date up? Will they be not able to do it at that point? So these are tough conversations. And if we all go to our corners and dig our head in the sand and say, I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to dig into finding out the details or why this is happening, and be able to say, okay, what creative solutions can we make together? And it's not going to be perfect because nothing is. And how can we then put us back into the place where I'd like to see us have a balanced budget? We did have a balanced budget under the Clinton administration. So I think it's possible to get back there. I know Trump is looking at some ways of getting back to a balanced budget. And the legislative body at the federal level has done what's called continuing resolutions, which means we can't agree, so we're going to just give enough stopgap money to get us through to the next time when we get forced to do, oh, another continuing resolution because we can't really figure out how to do this budget. That is absurd. The local governments are required to balance their budget each year. And when we were in the legislature, Tom Huff, what a wonderful person he was, he said, we're not only going to balance it to today, we are going to look at what he called the bow wave effect. What's this going to cost us in 4, 5, 6 years so that we aren't leaving the next legislative body in a mess because a big balloon payment comes at a time that nobody was expecting it because we didn't budget for that. And that was really, really prudent. I was so happy to be on the committee when that was discussed. So he was a wonderful budget person for this county, and we were all dang lucky to have him. So here we are. We have lots of questions, lots of things to think about, and we can do it together because we can solve this. We are intelligent. We care about our country. We're going to be focused on uniting, and having these tough conversations will make us closer and all more aware of why these decisions are tough. But we can do it, and we can leave a government for our children and our children's children that is solvent and is living in a way that the rule of law is adhered to, and our children are safe and they are educated. That is the goal. And so this completes tonight's Behind the Scenes. Good night.
Kathy will be back next week with another new episode of Behind the Scenes, right here on Valley 104.9 Northwest Eclectic.